I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome everyone to this part of the service. Appreciate it so much, everything that we've heard. Sunday school lesson was exceptional. I just really enjoy studying the Gospel of Matthew. All of the Gospels they all have their uniqueness, and each one is important in that sense, but I don't know. I guess I don't know if I have a favorite or not. I just love them all because Matthew has more details in some areas, and it has the Sermon on the Mount. And Mark is a little bit more concise, and Luke gives a different perspective. He's much more, in some ways, people-oriented. Luke was a doctor, and he knew how people felt. And John shows the divine side of Christ, and it's a beautiful one as well. And I'd like to turn this morning to the Gospel of John. John chapter 7. I also think it's important to memorize that scripture that we just finished, or are finishing, is a beautiful one, one of the most significant short phrases in the Bible are found in that chapter, when it talks about our past, the sins that we were in, our past, and then it just uses that one phrase where it says, but God, who is rich in mercy and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were in sins, has quickened us together. And so that makes all the changes there. All right. In John chapter 7, I think this, again, is one of the most, there's so many things in this chapter, but I'd just like to read it here quickly. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, and that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest. I'd like to just pause for a moment there and focus on the Feast of Tabernacles. If we look back at Leviticus chapter 23, we have there the original, I believe the first time that it's mentioned in the scripture. And Leviticus 23 and in verse 40, it says, And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statue forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days, and all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. You know, that was something that they did yearly to remember how God had delivered them. And it's interesting to see in the story of God's people that they didn't have really a lot. They didn't have libraries of books like we have today. And the things that they did were things that were ways of propagating and maintaining the faith. They could see this year after year. They could remember that God brought them from the land of Egypt, and this was made fresh again in their mind by this feast, and the Feast of Tabernacles, dwelling in booths. And it was actually 8 days long. It started on the Sabbath day. It was through the next Sabbath day. And that was the one where every Israelite was supposed to attend. It was a very important time. And we see here that Jesus is in a dangerous time of his life now. And his brethren did not believe on him, but he was they were asking if he's going to come to the feast or not. And I'll read on now in verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe on him. Then Jesus said unto him, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, and the works that are thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. His intentions were to go, but he was not going to go with his family. But I'd like to just go on over now to verse 37 of this same chapter, John 7:37, and Jesus is here again saying, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that should believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. The same said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went to his own house. I think the background for this is just really, really interesting. As we read in the Old Testament, we see a number of things that happened. According to my sources there of history, that Solomon's temple was dedicated during this time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was supposed during this time that Nehemiah, when there was a great revival, when Ezra stood on the pulpit of wood and read and explained the scripture to the Israelites, and there was a great revival at that time, was right during this point of time as well. And no doubt Jesus knew all of this. I was impressed with our Sunday school lesson last Sunday. I missed that. We weren't here, but when Jesus stilled the storm, and his disciples wondered, so what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They knew something about Jesus, but they certainly didn't understand that he's the one that made the sea. He's the one that made the wind. And certainly he could just speak the word and still that. And so that's the way it is here. Jesus was not only earlier in this chapter, we see that they were saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And didn't realize that Jesus was actually very intimately involved in every aspect of this, and they didn't realize it. Here was this man standing in their midst, all these things, and they didn't realize who he was. And now there's this great feast coming together, and all these people involved there, and Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And earlier, some of the temple guard had been sent to arrest Jesus because they didn't like what he was. They didn't like what they were hearing. The Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like what they were hearing. They were he was taking attention away from them, probably, and besides that, he was threatening their administration. And the officers that went to take Jesus came back empty-handed. I just have to marvel every time I read this about their defense. Their only defense is, "Why have you not brought him?" they asked him. And they said, "Never man spake like this man." Just a few words, but he was the one that had eternal life. And he's the one that met every single need that when people came to him. I don't believe Jesus healed every sick man that was sick at the time of his ministry, but I don't believe he ever left a sick person that came in contact with him. I don't believe they ever left without being healed. Those that wanted to. And I believe it's that way here with people that are seeking truth, that really want what he offers. I believe he still fills those hungry hearts today. And so while Jesus was here in this great day, and he was saying, "This is what's going to happen to those that come to me and drink. They are going to be refreshed, and they are going to be a refreshment to people around them." And that's, I think, the call for us today. And I think we can sense that when those people are walking with the Lord, that it's a blessing to be with them, and it's a blessing to be under that kind of influence. So let's take Jesus for what he is. He is much more than a teacher. The best teacher that was. He's much more than that. He is all of those things, but he's our Savior and our Redeemer. He's our Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's see him for who he is. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.